Hi, folks. Welcome to the Moving On Podcast. I'm Jay Norman, and this is my wife.
Hi, I'm Jessie Norman. Just like many of you, Jay and I have both walked through some difficult seasons in our lives.
And we know just how easy it is to get stuck.
We now have five beautiful
and crazy
children, and because of everything we've been through, our home operates on grace.
A concept we didn't fully understand until way later on in life.
Until we actually needed it ourselves. We want to share through stories of love and laughter
how we were moving on and how big of a game changer grace can be.
In relationship with one another and how we treat ourselves and, in our case, blending a family.
Something that may just require the largest amount of grace to date.
Preach.
You never know what road life's going to take you on. We have a podcast.
Yes, we do. And we really hope y'all enjoy it.
Good morning, babe.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right.
It's our second time to record in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
New thing for us.
Yep, roll out of bed and get on the mics.
It's been a little while getting things adjusted this morning, but
yeah, we can't get it the way we want it, or I guess the way it was in our, like, our expectations are not being met. So we might have got the, I might have got the wrong furniture, but our friend,
we'll figure it out.
Our friend is gonna get us some mic stands, some bigger ones. So I think that'll be a lot better.
Yeah, the problem is we can't get comfortable and look at each other and be able to sit here for an hour and not move around a lot. So we're trying to figure it out.
When you do 14 episodes staring directly into each other's eyes, you know, from a few feet away, it sets a tone of kind of this is our conversation with each other. And so then when you sprawl us out in this big studio, it doesn't feel right, you know.
But I'll sit some funny way to sit in the air conditioner instead of in the attic. So
yeah.
I'm good to go.
Okay.
So we've been on vacation and we just got home. We took the kids to South Padre, which is about a 10-hour drive. And we had a really good time, had a really good week. Near perfect weather down there.
Yeah, they're going to think we vacation all the time because last episode we talked about Missouri.
Yeah, we've made a road trip last time.
So sure. We'll just say that in the time y'all didn't hear from us, we were working our butts off.
Had to hit it pretty hard. We weren't home too many days in between and had a lot to get done.
I think we were home 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
It's kind of a stretch for sure. But we had a good trip. We didn't luck out so good on beds. We had we stopped kind of a little over halfway the first night and had a terrible bed, and then ended up with one as bad we slept on all week. So we were sure glad to get home to get in our bed.
The first night we stayed in one. That's probably one of the worst beds I've had in my adult life. It kind of locked me up for the rest of the trip.
Right. So this was our third time to take the kids to South Padre and as a family, and things have changed a lot. We noticed not only just looking
so
back
much.
At pictures, you know, how much the kids changed, but just how we handled everything and how it went. And we still had our issues, but overall it was an amazing trip, really was.
It really was. Like it was just stellar. You know, we saw all of the other little preteens on the beach chairs with their phones and their moms and dads trying to think of something to do with them or, you know, ask them to go take a walk or go get in the water. And they wouldn't even look up from their phones. They would just shake their heads no. And so that set a tone for me to just really absorb every moment we had with our bigs because they were the ones trying to get in the water and dig in the sand. And even 2 years ago or three trips ago, oh, 3 years ago?
No.
That's weird. Even three trips ago, they were good.
Yeah.
Our five have been our five since moment one.
Right.
There's been some kinks that we've had to work out, but not really.
Yeah.
But the relationship that we have with them has changed so much because we've all just kind of relaxed. And so stuff would happen on this trip and it would have gone so differently back then.
Right.
So it was so nice to see, you know, it happen on this trip and it be so healthy. And
well, I think all of us, all seven of us have
relaxed.
Have changed a lot, relaxed and grown, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, for sure.
Yep.
I know several times that that I, you know, I know you had to bite your tongue about stuff that,
sure,
that you definitely, you know, you did, and you did a good job of that.
Thanks. I thought that you did too. I watched you, and I know what bothers you. You take groups on these bonding excursions, and you do ropes courses and these seminars that you do to bond teams together. I mean, it's the same with a family. And so we've had 2 years of bonding experiences, and the culmination being on this trip. And it was just like, whoa, you know, like they're good and we're good with them. And we're not even done. You know, we plan on furthering this process with them. And I told my mom, I'm like, I'm sorry, but I think we may have the best family on the planet because they're so good with each other. And the beach, I was hearing someone else saying this exact thing, but they were saying the beach draws their children together like you've never seen. And
the relationships between which kids is changes.
Yes.
The ones that don't get along normally or fuss some, you know, they're digging in the sand together or going out in the middle of the ocean together or whatever.
Yeah, on the first day, my two youngest children were burying each other in the sand, not with the help of the others to where there were buffers, but, you know, they kind of wish that the other would go be a part of a different family. I mean, they do not dig each other just yet.
They don't get all too good.
And they will one day, but they just don't yet. On the beach, they kind of ditched the rest to be together. And you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then my favorite thing that I want to remember forever is our two bigs would grab the big board and go, they called it roller coaster, and they would go ride out in the deep waves for hours.
Yeah.
And that's a close proximity, you know? That's a pretty personal, on that board together. They're big kids, you know, and for them to be that close for that long, it just made my heart sing.
It was a lot of fun to watch.
It really was, and none of them argued.
And we actually got to sit on the chair.
We did.
For a decent amount of time.
I'm reading, Girls Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis, and it's all about, you know, you got to take care of yourself if you want to present anything good to your spouse and your children. And so a lot of times mommy guilt would try to creep in, like, how many more summers will you get like this, you know? And so when you're haunted by that fact, you start to give and give and give and give, and you don't have anything left. And it's too many days of a vacation to go on empty.
Right.
So I would fight that and say, no, I'm going to sit right here and read my book. And, you know, I'd choose my battles. I'd go sometimes and then I'd stay sometimes. So
right. Well, and so everything was pretty well, I won't say perfect for the trip, but we did have a jellyfish problem. The first day, none, and the second day, they were just everywhere you looked, and I mean, kids were just running off the beach, screaming, and all seven of us got it at one point or the other, but I think two of the girls got it multiple times because they stayed out there even though it was, and the lifeguard came by with some water and a bottle.
Yeah, he said, he muttered under his breath, he goes, ma'am, it's just a placebo, there's just saline in here. But it works. And he came and sprayed all five of them, and they were all good to go.
Yeah.
I laughed because, you know, it hurts really bad, but then it, you know, goes away pretty quickly. But just like our five have all different personalities, you could see it in the stings also.
Right.
So Jay's little girl, she was on a mission to get stung every single day. She just wanted to be stung once a day. That was her.
She said she was disappointed.
She was. She was so bummed. My oldest girl was crying the first day because we were all done. None of us would get in the water. I mean, I had sand all over me for hours because I wouldn't go rinse off because it was that big of an infestation. And so I walked out just to get the sand off of me, watching with every single step, and it lassoed right around my calf. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And that one was a doozy. And so anyway, she cried the whole way back to the pool saying, it's just a jellyfish. You just get stung and you just keep going. I don't understand what the problem is. And so I told her, you know, we all have different pain tolerances, and my little guy is 7, and that's not great for him, you know.
And we did a few extra trips this time. We did go snorkeling and we We got out in the on the bayside and pretty shallow water, and maybe 5 foot deep, and we go out and get the mask on, and we didn't go, I mean, 10 foot from the boat, and I'd already gotten stung, but I had a kid already riding my back. Worried about it, so I didn't say a word, and we swam out, and we got maybe 20 foot from the boat, and I think all seven of us had been stung, and of course the kids are just going nuts, and I'm trying to swim with one literally on all fours on my back riding. He won't even get in the water.
No, I'm just trying to get out of the water on you. And one of the other ones had a little panic attack, and I had to get him back on the boat. But I mean, in theory, that was a really neat trip.
Oh, yeah.
To go snorkel, but they put the sails up, so we were allowed to sail out to the spot for like 15 minutes. So this is 15 minutes of seeing jellyfish after jellyfish after jellyfish. Yeah. I mean, it was 5 foot of crystal clear bay water, and you're seeing jellyfish as clear as day.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, well, we're not going out of this area, so are we all about to get into that water? And so I told Jay, I just felt like that we were all just doing something that we weren't supposed to, but nobody would say anything. And the captains were like, get in.
Here we go.
Good
no
luck.
Way around it. And they had a slide and a trampoline that they had taken out in the ocean, and they go out by it. And of course, the kids wanted to do that. So the guy ended up going out and getting a net and cleaning them out. Yeah. And I just swam the kids back and forth out to the slide the whole time. But it was a really, really neat deal. But the jellyfish did cause a little bit of a problem.
Well, and, you know, I think I got about 8 seconds of fine snorkeling. And I had so much fun. And I think a child attacked my head at that moment.
I saw one fish myself. That's it.
Oh, I really, really enjoyed it. I think that minus the jellyfish, I think it would have been the best day, because then we got back on the boat and they were grilling the whole time. So you could smell that. It was wonderful. And then even the kids were like, that's the best burger we've ever had.
Yeah, that was good.
And so it was a lot of fun. And to be on the water is always fun to me.
It is.
I think it was key a second ago when you said you got stung right away and you didn't say anything. One of the captains was clearing the jellyfish away from the path from the trampoline to the boat.
Right.
So you'd have to swim about 20 yards, I guess.
Probably.
Which Jay was transporting our kids back and forth, and I was the lookout from above. And there was one time that they were coming, and that one of the other dads was like, oh, there's a couple. And I was like, do you mind not saying anything for just a second? Because they would panic, you know? And I was like, can you just let him get to the water? Because he was trying to tell the captain where they were. So I think it is just key, you know, the mindset that just let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, even yesterday, that reminds me, coming back, on one of our middles just always has to pee all the time, all the time, all the time.
I don't let her drink ever.
No. And I told her, don't think about it. And so a few hours went by and we went and stopped somewhere and she was like, I don't know what you mean by don't think about it. And she wasn't being ugly. She really wanted to know. And so I was able to teach her, you know, say I'm having a really tough day with my shoulder and I can find a really good podcast to listen to, I'm good for an hour, you know? I was like, this mindset that we can create to change your mind on, we're going to focus on the fact that I've got to pee and I'm in a car of seven on a road trip. Or am I going to get on my Kindle and watch a movie that I love, you know?
Well, so, just amazing, you know, the ups and downs when you sit back and look at this trip.
Yeah.
And the ups and downs of everybody's emotions from when they're, you know, they're high as a kite to get to the beach, from when they're worn out from being there and they're just completely down and, you know, you can't get them. And it is like, you know, we had one little swimsuit, or not one swimsuit malfunction. We had several, but we had one that was too tight. And unfortunately, she asked the bull in the china closet to see if he could stretch it.
I was like, she had burnt a little bit. And so when you have a tighter swimsuit, it makes it worse if you're burning a couple days in a row. And so I said, do you want me to ask Jay to stretch it for you? And she said, yes, ma'am. And I mean, no sooner that he walks over there and grabs her suit, she's crying. And we had just bought it to go on the trip. And he just goes over there, grabs a hold of it, and breaks it. And
So, this really fine piece of plastic that held it together, and needless to say, it didn't survive the stretching.
That little piece of plastic is on every bathing suit in America.
Is it? Okay. Well, okay. They need to be better than that.
No, they don't. Like, oh my gosh. So anyways, I bought her a bathing suit and gave it to Jay to give to her. So yeah. He made amends, but he wasn't even wanting to apologize at all. I think you were upset that you had done it. And so it was one of those times where I was like, babe, please try to think as a 10-year-old girl that has a brand new bathing suit and you just broke it. Like, just try to put yourself in it, you know.
I had a bread tie ready to fix it, though, but she wouldn't.
Yeah, nope, she wouldn't.
She wasn't into that at all.
But it was fine. That kind of stuff is good for them. So yeah. I was kind of glad it happened. I was like, this stuff will stretch her. You know, so they're not just so obsessed with every little thing going right.
Well, I think that rolls over to us, too, when you talk about being obsessed with everything going right and everybody doing exactly right. When you get seven in a condo that's really probably for maybe five people.
For days on end.
Yeah, and, you know, we were there for a week, and you got stuff scattered everywhere, and you got some kids that put all their stuff up, and some just wherever they walk, that's where it falls.
Yeah. Well, and we have one child that takes the bathroom longer than all five of them combined, so that was a lesson for that, too, and so it's just growing and allowing each other to be who we are and not trying to change everybody into your liking.
Right.
So it was a great time to even practice our skills as step-parents, you know, because we knew we were going to be tried. And when we're here, you know, you guys go to the farm and we'll do our own thing sometimes.
Get time apart,
you get me time and get certain kids at certain times and... You know, having all five for 7 days, that's a practice. I just really did try to think, what if my children were on vacation with their dad and another parent? And thinking, what if that parent was ugly to them? How would I feel? And that is such a scary situation, putting your children in someone else's hands, that... There needs to be trust and respect. So their other parent needs to be able to trust that you love them and that you have their best interest
yeah.
in mind. Yeah. So I would notice when, you know, one of my kids would do something, I'm fine. They've done it their whole lives. It's fine. I've learned to live with it. I love them. They're my children.
Yeah.
One of yours would do something and physically my heart rate would increase, my blood pressure, everything physically would just go.
Right.
And I could watch it and go, no, that is incorrect. And I would try to correct it without going after them, you know.
Right.
Because I don't want some body that is not their blood parent going after them.
Right.
I just don't. And so there's a lot of things that we need to talk about surrounding that concept, but it was just a really good week for me to try to practice some patience and compassion and understanding and realize that the seven of us for 7 days does not have to look exactly the way my mind paints it.
Right.
You have to have allowance, like we said in last episode, for all of it to occur simultaneously.
Right.
So where, you know, one of our children, his idea or her idea for the week might have been running around naked, eating junk food and throwing wrappers into the wind. And that's what vacation is to him or her. So you don't want to shoot those expectations down. But here I am still saying, you know, my mind would go, well, if you trash this condo, that's you might as well saying, you're not even thankful that we came here.
Right.
And that's not what that means.
Right.
That is not what that child is saying, that I hate you and I hate that you brought us here. That's not what they're saying. They're so happy. They were so relaxed and so comfortable. And my mind was attaching different values to things that did not, were inaccurate,
right.
If that makes sense.
I agree. And, you know, just the difference in them, like we talked about, just per kid and how they are and how you deal with it. And then something that we talked about in the conversation and that I thought was really unique, and it's something that we have both done, but we have both improved on. You know, when we were talking about just being selfish discipline as a parent,
yeah.
When you're watching that happen and you're right. watching that kid run around and do that stuff, and you want to go in over there and just nail them,
yeah.
and be like, you know, or you want to tell me to go nail them, and that,
yeah, because I don't nail your children.
And explain what you meant by selfish discipline, because I mean that's a pretty unique point that I, you know, now I can look back and see. That's something we both did.
We both did
a lot.
It. Well, you know, like I was saying a minute ago, if my child does something, I'm good. If Jay's does it, I'm not. I want them corrected right then. And it's irrational. It's dumb. It's irrational. And this isn't all the time. I love my stepchildren. Like, I'm pretty obsessed with them, if you ask Jay.
Yeah.
And they're pretty obsessed with me, too.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Just, I mean, the whole trip was just, I had one on one side of me and one on the other.
Yeah.
And it's Jesse.
Yeah.
And I just smiled so big trying to hear both of them at the same time.
Yeah, and even one time you're like, hey, you liking that? You're not getting much attention over there,
yeah,
are you, big boy?
There was one, I'm going on a tangent, but yeah. His little girl was trying on a T-shirt at a T-shirt shop, and I was like an acre away. We were in this huge shop. And she came out, and he was like, sis, I like that. And she's like, where's Jesse? And he's like, well, I like your shirt. And she's like, where's Jesse? Like, she just wanted to know what I thought.
Yeah.
And that stuff means the world to me.
Yeah,
it
didn't matter what I thought.
Mm-mm. And I love that you tease about it, because
yeah.
I know you love it, too.
Yeah.
But what was I saying?
We were talking about the selfish discipline, yeah. and it reminded me, too, and I don't remember how this
we're
quote...
We're going to go on another tangent.
Well, how this quote went, it falls in line, but it basically is saying that with a stepchild...
Yeah.
You know, you get after them if they don't wash their hands because their hands are dirty. But when they do wash their hands, you get after them for wasting water. And
yeah.
And that's kind of what...
That is a stepchild.
Kind of what it references to.
That is totally a stepchild. And our mindsets need to be reset.
Yeah.
All of us that have blended families, we really need to take a look into this, because this is their mental health that we are... There's damage that's being done by us not working on ourselves.
Right.
And being the adults and the parents that we need, the loving adults that we need to be. And so what I was saying is, let's just take an example. If one of Jay's kids is doing something and they're happy and Jay's happy, Jay's not even noticing anything wrong, nothing, but I get jerked and I want it corrected and I want it stopped. So I go to Jay, or I text him, and I say, you need to get that stopped now. And he corrects it. That euphoria that I feel is incorrect.
Yeah.
It's not right. It was me. It was my selfish desires being satiated. It wasn't for Jay. It wasn't for the child. It definitely wasn't for their relationship. It damaged that relationship more
right.
than anything. Now, I will say that you are aloof and stuff, but to me, you're their dad. They're
right.
going to spend time with their mom. They're going to spend time with their dad. That has to be fine. That's every family in America that has one parent one way, one parent the other way. And so with that, I need to realize to take a step back and know that you're their dad.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem with it, you're going to say something. And I don't have to be in control of everyone's actions and everything that occurs throughout the day.
Right.
And vice versa. Because, and I see on our forums all the time, women saying, my significant other is so easy on his children, but he is so hard on my kids. And that is because what we're saying. It is just a different animal, isn't
right.
it? I mean, it's just so different the way you feel about someone else's kids. And even though they are your kids
right.
now, they're not. They're not. You didn't birth them. You weren't there from baby usually. And so these are things that we do really have to seek out and evaluate and eliminate. If we're going to have any type of healthy family whatsoever,
Well, and I think over time, as things get better,
yeah,
and, you know, just like you're talking about having one in each year, as that gets better,
yeah,
you know,
I love that.
Up to that point, mm-hmm. you kind of, you get contempt somewhat built up for
those
things that are happening that you don't like, or mm-hmm. if it doesn't get corrected, and it's not necessarily contempt towards me.
Right.
It can be contempt towards kids.
And sure.
And so as things get better, and then as we can look back now and see mm-hmm. how things improved, and how, you know, you kind of let that contempt go, and you've got to. You hate to even admit that it was ever there.
Yeah, but we're just being honest here. Yeah. And, you know, men and women are so different. So when I'm studying a situation and taking pulses and watching people and watching different behaviors, you're over there having a good time doing none of that, you know? And so we had some friends just get married and combine their families, and they were telling us that this one instance, he was on, probably because of her, but he was on his son and on his son and on his son to pick up his room. And he finally pawned it off on his little sister to do it. And when the dad saw the room, he praised and praised and praised his son. Well, she knew what had happened, and she told on him and was like, because the son was like, you're welcome, you know, just took it.
Yeah, took it and ran with it like he did it all.
She was like, he didn't even clean his room. And instead of that child getting in trouble, like you would think, because we think we're going to tell on the kid and you're going to go straight for that kid and pummel the kid. And you're not. I've picked up my end of the rope and pulled on it, and you're going to start pulling back.
Right.
So the kid might as well not have even done anything.
Yeah, that's a moot point.
That's a moot point. You are coming at me now with full force. And that's what's happened for the whole 2 years of our marriage. Yeah. We've just now discovered that.
Yeah, we can actually see it now start to happen. You
We know better now because we are not getting anywhere. I think I told on your children 100 times before I realized, if I tell on your children, you are now not going to correct them.
Right.
And so, and same with me. If you tell on my kids, I am now coming after you for being hateful to my kids, or being hateful about my kids. You don't want anyone talking about your kids, you know. She said, he didn't even clean his room. He had his sister clean it. And instead of him going after the little boy, he said, why are you always telling on him? And then a fight ensued. So, but when she came to me, I was able to tell her that I'd been there exactly where she was. And, you know, 100 times in a row, told on the child, didn't get the result that I wanted to, got the opposite.
No.
And so I was able to tell her that I took a different approach finally.
Well, and we talked about that, and you were kind of thinking about all this whole process. We both had looking back, you know, on our whole vacation here in the past and going through all of it and talking about it. And you brought up that along that line, how you kind of figured out how to build a relationship with my son, and it triggered me to thinking how I did it and vice versa. So, you know, tell like you were...
We kind of went to each other and we were like, this isn't working. This is not working. We're not getting the results that we want. So I asked Jay, would it be okay if I threw him under the bus? And because I said, you know, y'all's relationship is good. It's solid. You're best buds. You can completely pummel him and you're good in a few minutes. It's not the same with us. So we kind of came up with a plan. So this is what we did. Anytime any of them were being sneaky, we took their side. I know it sounds so funny, but the first time it happened...
And it's all small stuff, too.
It's little. Yeah. It's little stuff that does not matter, and it'll get fixed in the long run, and it's getting fixed here and there. But just with the small stuff, this is what we did, and we wanted to tell you guys. I think the first time it happened... Jay had been on his son and on his son and on his son to get off of his phone at lunch. And I think we were out to eat. So I look over and he's watching a movie kind of behind the napkin dispenser. Jay's completely, again, like I told you guys, aloof, has no idea. But I'm like Nighthawk down, you know, and I see it. And so I just reach over and take the mustard and kind of make a barricade and wink at him. And it was the first time we were kind of in it against you.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds so funny, like our relationship comes first and why are you telling us that y'all, you know, you went with the kid over him? It's not that. Jay and I were in cahoots. Jay and I came up with this plan. Anyways, I just winked at him and just was like, I gotcha.
Yeah.
And little by little, with all of the kids, kind of doing those special little, I'm not going to rat you out. Yeah. I'm here for you until you figure that out. Yeah. And then maybe,
whether it's slipping them a piece of candy or they're not supposed to have.
Yes. And don't,
go drink that Dr. Pepper out there.
Hurry and go get that Dr. Pepper and don't tell mom.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't let them have drinks that late at night. And Jay's like, run for your life, get to the fridge. And so anyways, those little things are ways to instill a trust in those relationships that's not there yet. So what we learned in our first 2 years is this is not working. They're not trusting us. I'm trying to be tough on them. Why is this not working? It just doesn't. You have to come in kind of a camaraderie, I've got your back relationship to where they'll trust you. And then with that trust, you know, then you'll have some influence.
Right.
So where I've finally gained their trust of your children, then I can finally, you know, mess around with them and then be like, hey, go pick up that room, please. You know, like things like that to where it doesn't feel so harsh coming from an outsider.
Well, and we've discussed on here before, I mean, you know, I've been more of a disciplinary with your children for longer, and you haven't been with mine. And I think we saw that this time on vacation. You could actually say something, you know, as disciplined and not feel like you were going to just get, you know, just get trashed and then get ignored or have a kid mad at you for a day. It just, you know, I'm not saying it's the same as if I get after them where it's gone in a few minutes, but there was never an issue.
Nope.
And I think all that has stemmed from, you know, building those relationships and obviously time, which, you know, we were pretty impatient with, as we mentioned several times on here before. But building that relationship with them, because I've done it with all three of yours, done that. We didn't necessarily talk about me doing it with yours, but after, you know, you did it with my son, you know, I've done it with them, little things, and be like, just, you know, just go get it, mom's not there. And it has definitely changed that, for
it
sure.
It does. Yeah. It's sneaky, but it works.
Yeah.
But I, too, on the other side of that coin, I know that I'm not their friend. Like, I do want to do these little tricks so that they can trust me because I love them so much, but I'm also not their friend. Meaning, if they are mad at me because I've corrected them, that has to be okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
It has to. I mean, what they say, if your kids are, you know, hating you, you're doing your job or whatever. And so there has to be a little facet there where if my stepchild is a little frustrated with me, then maybe I am doing a good job, you know, and I have to just kind of let it roll off my back because.
Well, and I mean, that's good frustration.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Discipline. And they crave discipline.
Yep.
I also can't fully gain their trust unless we do step into that realm because, like I've also said to you guys, I run this home. So if I can't be able to ask my stepchildren to help me run this home, we've got a problem.
Well, and I mean, if you're able to get after them, and, you know, may not always be the result you want, but it's off your chest. I mean, that lowers that contempt.
Yeah, you're right.
To a whole different level, to where you don't, I mean, it just gradually, it just goes away over time, you
know. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And that's the whole other facet of it, too, is I was having so much anxiety. So I kind of felt shackled, like you have to watch it. I've given you a heightened sense of attention to what's going on, but I've also put tape over your mouth. And so I felt so much anxiety about all of it. And then if I went to you as a vessel to correct them and you didn't correctly or to my liking, then that was hard on our relationship. Sure. Just junk. All of it is junk. All of it. The way that we were going about it was so incorrect.
Well, and we went about it too fast. I mean,
we did.
We wanted things to be perfect real quick, as we've talked about a lot on here too. And And I think it just takes patience, and it takes time, and it takes a lot of love, even when things aren't right.
Well, and that's what our pastor was saying last weekend, is just replacing family tradition. And you just, some traditions that have been passed on down and down and down, they don't apply to our blended family. They just don't. They may have applied to our other family. They just don't apply in this situation because it's a specific new type of world that we're living in right now with our kids. And so we have to break some of the things that are part of us.
Right.
And that's a ripping and a tearing away from who we are. And that's unpleasant. And it takes a lot of growth and a lot of patience, a lot of time with the Lord, a lot of time in meditation, a lot of time on working on our mindset. And but if you can put the work in, just like we said, this week with our family, it was the best week of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, to date. And you and I have been to Hawaii. You and I have been on amazing trips. And this week was the best week of my life.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it just, you know, to being together and the time and allowing yourself to change and be a different person.
Yeah.
I mean, from me from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, going on that vacation to the person I am now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what you taught me and what I've learned by watching those kids, just allowing yourself to change and being mm-hmm. able to, you know, to adapt to that. I mean, I think mm-hmm. it's a huge, huge part of it, and not being stuck on that tradition.
Yeah.
Not, you know, knowing that, yeah, that's the way it was
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid, but, you know, that wasn't a blended family. This is a blended family, and I've got to adapt and change that for things to work. And, I mean, it has been, like you said, I mean, it's the best week we've had.
Mm-hmm, ever.
And, I mean, it's such a, you know, that's such a great feeling in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And just allowing yourself to get to that point is pretty awesome.
You know, and one of the simplest tricks of getting to where we've gotten is just shutting your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of times that we're wanting to say something in that moment, in that height of anger, and the damage that it does to our family is not worth it.
Well, and you go back, there's that high of saying something, and you've just got to stop.
You have to get past it.
And let it pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
My little girl got frustrated with your little boy yesterday at lunch, and the way she presented it to me made the top of my head want to blow off my body. And so I wanted to turn to him and discipline him. And I just stopped, and I was like, nope, she knows exactly how to get to me. I'm not getting the full story.
Nope.
I knew I wasn't. And I just stopped. And it's almost like you can count backwards from 10 or 15. And once that wave of anger passes and you can see it, it's with new eyes. You know, you don't have that rage in you. And you have these clear eyes and this clear look on the situation. It just would have changed our whole afternoon.
Well, I'll tell you, as a side note, that was one of the highlights of the trip to me, is that conversation right there. You
really?
Know, I was watching that out of the corner of my eye. And, I could hear enough to know what was being told. And I just kept on eating and didn't say a word. And I know what 3 years ago, what that would have brought.
Yeah.
And today, you know, I can say for you as a person that the amount that you've grown, we go to the car after we finish lunch, you know, and normally that would either been outside of the car with the kids in the car and us talking. Nothing was said. We got right in the car. And as soon as I back out, you just reach over and grab my hand.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that's what's, I mean, that's growth for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. that's change. That, because that could have made mm-hmm. the last 4 hours of that trip a long trip. And I think the 3 years ago, the last 4 hours we stopped right in there with silence all the way home for the whole trip. And yesterday was a nice trip. So that,
you
know, that's definitely something that's really nice. It's changed for sure.
Yep. Because that can do some damage too. You have to look at it from both sides. If they're coming to us because they trust us and we're their advocate, and one of their siblings is not doing right by them, and they come to us for help, and we don't help, that can be damaging also.
Sure.
I knew this situation, and I knew that this is something that they're going to have to figure out on their own. And it's like we told you a minute ago, it's just a littler facet of it. It's a littler situation.
Well, that was a role reversal where they rode in the back on the way down, the big kids in the front. She messed with them all the way down. And then it got reversed.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was getting messed with. And, I mean, you were able to see that.
Yes.
And know.
And then the last of the trip, she messed with us.
Yeah.
In the front seat. She was in our space. And when I kept trying to get her out of our space, it was like, this is, you're not seeing this clearly, yeah. You know. So yeah. it was just a simple case of seven big old people trying to ride in this little box 10 hours.
Yep. And Harley and I had that discussion yesterday about, Dad, what are we going to do for a vehicle? Because we're all going to be too big before long. And so
I kept teasing them, even when they were, some of them would cry here and there just because they're so squished. And I would tease him and go, stop crying. He's going to make me drive a van. Stop crying. Hurry and stop crying. But I will tell you, my little guy, he's seven. We got in the car in South Padre. He put his Spider-Man headphones on. And I think he took them off when we got to our house.
He took them off for the pit stops when we got to the house.
And he never said a word.
No.
Ugly. He never got on to his siblings where we could hear. They would probably say, oh, yes, he did, Mama. But we never heard a peep out of him. He just did so well.
Right.
So I'm so proud of him.
So it was an awesome trip, but glad to be home. And so one other thing that we did on the trip.
Yes.
Different as far as.
So different.
Yeah. We got up every morning just like we did home.
Yep.
And went and worked out.
Yep. Well, I just committed, you know, we had gone to Missouri, and my girlfriend that we had gone to see in Indiana, she and I were talking, and when I'm around my family, my brothers and sisters and my mom and dad, I don't do anything but stare at them. I want to be right by them. I don't want to take an hour from that time to go on a run or go get in my Bible, or I don't want to take my time with them to work on myself. And my best friend in Indiana, she was like, oh no, when I have my family in town, I don't just work out. Sometimes I work out twice. And so instead of me zeroing it out, she was doubling up. And it really, like I said, it really flipped a switch in me because I was like, you know what? That makes so much more sense because when you're zeroing it out, you're producing this depleted version of yourself for family time.
Right.
And family time can be tough.
Yeah.
So if you're empty, like we've talked about, I know it sounds so simple and kind of repetitive that we've talked about it so much, it wasn't making sense in my head until now. And so anyways, we went on the trip and we just made a commitment that we weren't going to check out.
Well, and you know, for me, it allowed going to work out. I didn't necessarily want to do it every morning because I do it every day here and I want to do something different.
Yeah.
But it did, you know, I wasn't really ever that tired on the beach and we stayed up, you and I did, every night to at least midnight and got up early. But I really wasn't that tired because I did get up and work out where I think if I hadn't, I'd have been really sluggish a lot.
Well, and this neat thing is we heard, if y'all haven't heard Rise Together with Dave and Rachel Hollis, it's incredible for marriage and family. It's one of our favorites.
Right.
And we ended up hearing their most recent episode, and it was about this, what I had talked to my friend in Indiana about.
And we listened to that on the way back, yeah.
And yes, but that one episode about checking out on vacation, we were able to hear it a day before we left, I think. And so that solidified the concepts that we were already playing with.
Yeah.
And they just made perfect sense of it. And just saying, who you are should not turn off when you're on vacation. If it's at Christmas, stay who you are. If it's your trip, stay who you are. It's like we kind of get on a roll and then we get out of it. And we get on a roll and then we get out of it. And
makes it hard to reset when you get home.
It is so hard starting over. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And so Jay and I had a bet the week before I left to see if I could get five workouts, five runs. I was been wanting to run again. Five runs in 5 days, and we had a wager. And so that happened, and I was able to meet it. But then we went on vacation, and it's like, you don't want to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
So I made a pact, another type, same type of pact with my friend. She was going to the beach the same week as us and having the same mindset as me. So we made a pact with each other, you know, 5 days, this is what this is going to look like. We're going to get a workout every day and time in meditation or prayer every day. Gosh, it made for such a different trip.
It did. It made it nice. And, you know, it just felt better throughout the day and didn't feel quite as bad about those cheeseburgers.
We ate everything that moved. We ate everything that moved. And I got on the scale this morning, and I go, I want to see if I can out-train a diet. And he goes, as a trainer, do you know the answer? And I was like, yes, but I want to know. And the answer is no. I trained my butt off. I worked out every single day and gained 4 pounds.
But you felt better doing it, for sure.
Oh, I feel amazing.
We had a great time and don't feel quite as guilty about it.
It was so nice. It was like we just put in the work. And consequently, this was our first ever trip that we could leave the littles in the big's care long enough to go work out.
Right.
That was so different for us.
Yeah, it was nice.
To be able to just run downstairs and get a workout in and let them sleep.
Yeah, of course. Most of the time, they weren't even awake.
They weren't awake. They knew, you know, we had told them the night before and left notes, and then the bigs knew that they were in charge. So, but it was just so nice.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed being able to go do that and then know we didn't have to worry about them. And I think that's something that we need to try to implement on every trip.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of times, but a lot of times we get maybe one.
Yeah.
Or two.
Yeah.
You know, and then.
I know, I didn't mean to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
You're good, go ahead.
Last summer, we went and visited family in Missouri again, and then stopped by in Tulsa and met my cousins. And I was telling them, I packed 7 workout outfits for the 7 days we were gone, and I hadn't used any of them. And, which is what we do, you know. And
this time we had to wash a lot of clothes.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And we got to like the 6th or 7th day. And I was like, I need to go on at least one run. This is ridiculous. My cousin Tim was like, Jesse, at this point, we're going for a record here. Like, we don't want to touch any of those 7 outfits. So he made a new goal for me, see how long I could go without using my exercise clothes on vacation. You felt the same way. And even when we listened to Dave and Rachel, I think Dave was like, I know y'all want to punch us in the face right now.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh because a lot of times you and I are talking on here and I'm like, I know they want to punch us in the face right now. It's the same with this. But you have an entirely different situation.
Well, I mean, I didn't necessarily want to get up and do it because, I mean, I do it every day, you know, 5 days a week. And I just don't necessarily want to be in a hurry. After I did it, I was glad I did it. But, you know, when you first started talking about it, I was going to do it with you. But at the same time, I wasn't super excited about it.
Yeah. Jay is so different because, unlike a lot of us, Jay has worked out every day since mid-November, every weekday. And so I bet there's a lot of you listening and that you're closer to me, where I have not worked out every day since mid-November. So I have been on a roller coaster of getting a bunch of workouts in and then taking a couple weeks off and getting a bunch in and taking off. So for you, we're not talking to you. Dave and Rachel aren't talking to you. I think if you wanted to take a break, that would have been fine. On a second level too, you don't battle anxiety. And I think a lot of people listening do, and you know that I do. And so where me taking a week off of, which is pretty much medicine for my anxiety, is training. Me taking a week off of my medicine does not make for a good trip.
Right.
So, and that's true for so many of our listeners too. And so what Rachel Hollis was saying was, keep being you. If you are somebody that trains to fight off your anxiety and trains to feel good about yourself and trains to have those increased endorphins, train on your trip. Be who you are. Don't stop being who you are just because you're on vacation. And so I think that you and I are bringing them two different scenarios.
Well, in my scenario too, some of it is, you know, just wanting to take a break and just mm-hmm. to do something different, not yeah. do it. But at the same time, by doing it, I felt like I wouldn't lose that momentum to, you know,
right.
Monday morning, you know,
right.
I'm going to go work out. You know, mm-hmm. I kept going. I didn't want to, you know, stop for a week and then, mm-hmm. you know, come home and not want to go back to working yeah. out, you know.
I know what you mean.
So.
And too, you know, you training with your trainer for an hour plus sometimes, and him kicking your tail is not completely comparative to you training in a hotel gym with janky machines
right.
that have met salt water.
Yep.
You know, there was one day in there where I just really wasn't feeling it. I think it was the morning after we got in that horrific bed. And I was like, you know, this spine should not run. No. There's no way. I'll be out for the rest of the week. And so I knew better to make it an active rest. So instead of going on a run, I just got on the treadmill and walked, you know,
right.
for 30 or 40 minutes. And so there are ways for you to create like a vacation workout that would still meet your needs, but be different
right.
from what you're doing when you're home.
Right. Well, and so we got in a discussion one time, and after everything you told me, which a lot of it we've talked about today, I said, I think we need to get a GoPro on you, like the Millennial Farmer.
Hey, we love the Millennial Farmer. Yeah. Do y'all know the Millennial Farmer? If you don't, go to YouTube. Well, you have to like farming.
Yeah.
Do you have
or
to?
Or just want to learn about it.
Yeah, if you don't know about farming, you'll learn from him, but he's amazing. Yeah. He's in Minnesota?
I think so, yeah.
He's in Minnesota, and I think his name's Zach, and is it Zach?
I think that's right.
I should have fact-checked all this stuff,
yeah,
but anyways, he's so wonderful. We learned about him in the first episode that we listened of our buddy, Rob Sharkey. He has Shark Farmer podcast. If y'all need another farming podcast, it's awesome, and he had Millennial Farmer on, so that sent us to YouTube to find Millennial Farmer, and he wears a GoPro as he farms. It is addictive.
No.
Like, it is so good. We could watch him for 12 hours. Anyways, I went off on a tangent, but if you haven't heard of him, go to YouTube and just search Millennial Farmer.
So we got in that discussion, and I told you that you needed to get a GoPro on you, so
yeah.
all the stuff that you were saying... we would have recorded to talk about or, you know, to do yeah. something with.
So. Well, it just did wonders for me because I got on this high horse on this soapbox and went off on this long, you know, it wasn't a rant. I wasn't mad. It just, we knew the second we got back, we were going to have to record. And so I just stayed in prayer like, God, please show us what you're wanting us to talk about because we don't have time to get home, start praying,
right.
and start asking God what he wants to talk about. And so I just decided if we could take the whole trip, just journaling and talking to the Lord, and I would send Voxer messages to myself when inspiration would hit. And so we were able to come home with just tons of stuff that we were wanting to say. And even for next episode, we have our whole next episode ready.
Right.
I'm so excited about it too. But anyways, Jay was laying on his back on the bed, and I came in. I think I was changing, and I just went on this long thing. And when I was done, I thought he'd be asleep or his eyes crossed. I didn't know what. And he said, oh, girl, we need to get one of them GoPros, strap one of them GoPros on you like Millennial Farmer. And it meant so much to me. I was like, babe, you think that my words have value? And he was like, of course I do. And I just knew, you know, first you don't answer that question. I baited you. I'm not going to say you think my words have value and you go, no, not really, mm-hmm. but that was really good. Like you're going to say yes 100%.
I didn't mean it though.
But I know, but I'm just saying 100% of the time, does this dress make my butt look big? You're going to say no. And so when I say, do you think my words have value? You're going to say yes. But the way that you said it and the glimmer in your eye and the respect that you give me and the way that you make me feel important makes me important, because I start to go down this path and I'm wondering, am I right going down this path? And with your support, I can gain some bravery with the two of us together. Right. And it just spoke so much to me for you husbands, just the littlest things that you can say to your wives to raise them to the next level. And you have this power in your hands, and I don't know, just the little things that y'all do.
Well, and I think, you know, you feeling like you're on the right path and moving how you need to move. I know that our relationship and how it's changed and all that, I know it, you know, I feel like I'm on the right path. And so, you know, I think that all just comes into, you know, really a big, big bundle for our whole family. And as I, you know, we're talking about this trip and what we learned from it, I think that all that stuff, you know, really, really wraps around to,
right,
you know, to make that trip what it was.
It was just really nice for you to say that. And I just want you guys to know that there's these little moments and these little sentences that can just rocket your relationship to the next level.
Yep.
We don't really require much.
Nope. No, we got to make up for the ones that we say that don't send it the other way.
Yeah, I know. There was one day where I was, we might have just gotten there, or it was the next day, I'm not sure, but I had a little anxiety and I went over to the balcony. It's almost like you can read me sometimes, because I went over to the balcony and just kind of leaned over the balcony, and I didn't even know you were near me. And all of a sudden you were holding me from behind. And I just thought, he needs to know this. He needs to know that that is gold, because just the love that I feel, because we had so much to do. The kids are so, you know, they demand so much, because there's five of them. So they want one of us at all times for something.
Right.
And ours was not void of watch this, daddy, watch this, mama, watch this, no, watch this, watch this, watch me do this. I mean, that was, watch this was said 10,000 times.
Yeah.
And so for you to take time away from that to come hold me on the balcony, that little moment can change an afternoon. Because if I can remember that it's me and you, you know, that's our team, it changes everything. Especially for someone with anxiety, to know that I don't have to do any of this alone. I have this big, strong man. And it's these little things. I was saying yesterday on Instagram, I made a post and I was just saying, let her catch you staring at her. That doesn't take any time. Talk about her in a great way to someone while she's hearing you. Those moments are so powerful. Leave your phone in the truck. Watch her get undressed. Watch her get dressed. Those days when I'm getting dressed and I hear a grunt from behind me, you know, I mean, that is so sweet to me. You know, those little things, and it doesn't take much at all.
Right. Well, and I was just going to say, too, when you're talking about anxiety and dealing with that, that's something that you go back to time in our relationship for me, you know, to recognize that. And we've talked about it on here before, but even this week, you know, there was one day I didn't necessarily recognize it, you know, as soon as I should have. You know, I did that time, you know, the other I didn't. And I think that's something that, you know, if you're married to somebody that deals with that, I think you kind of got to figure out how to get tuned in to recognize that. I mean, there's no way we're going to get it right every time, but
not at all.
If we can get it right a lot of the time, it definitely helps, and, you know, can cut it off at the pass, we hope so.
Right. Well, I didn't deal with anxiety in my 20s. I only started dealing with anxiety in the past 6 or 7 years, meaning that there was a time where I didn't deal with it and I didn't have compassion for people that did.
Yeah.
And that even went into my marriage. I was very harsh. You know, why could you be sad when you have these beautiful children? Why can you be sad when we have this nice house? How can you be sad? I would bully. And that haunts me that I would bully someone with anxiety because I didn't understand it. And I think God was like, you know what? You're not getting this. Let me show you.
Yeah.
Let me show you what you're trying to bully someone over. And I think when we don't have understanding, he will give us understanding real fast. And, you know, you pointing that out, we do have some things. I have some things that I'm still trying to work through. I'm still not a person that can be on a trip with other people. I can be on a trip with you, but then I start getting to miss the kids, and that causes.
Right.
But being on a trip, just the pressure to be good, to be mentally healthy, the pressure to be mentally healthy for 4, 5, 6 days so that others can enjoy our time, it kind of tends to sit an elephant on my chest around day 5. So around day 5, it was like a stampede of elephants came rushing in. One took residence on my chest, and my jaw just clenched shut. And it was like, not for 30 minutes, like 10 hours. And that was even with a workout, in time with the Lord, pleading with God to help because I was about to ruin our day. And so there's still things that we've got to figure out, you know, whether that's going to be some therapy because we're not able to fix this on our own, or medicinal, you know, we'll get it figured out. But we know the problem, and we know where we're heading with it. And we'll be open with that too, you know.
Well, and it, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday coming home that, you know, I need to remember and realize, you know, for whatever trip it is, if it's next year down there or whatever, to be able to see that and know that, you know, that day 5 is coming.
Yeah.
And I mean, not necessarily that it's something to fear, but maybe on day 4, you know, I do something different. How about, you know, let me go take the kids let's go, you know, go get ice cream, and you go you go walk to the, you know, down there to the pier or whatever and back. And
I get it. Yeah. And we even took a little bit of a spa day on day 1 or day 2. Yeah. And so maybe just arranging that to be on day 5,
right,
that can be a little bit more helpful. But I was just taught to be sweet and be good and don't ruffle feathers and don't cause a problem for anyone. And so if I'm with others, any others, whether it's my children, your children, my brothers and sisters, my parents, any type of others, it's just a pressure to be good.
Right.
And that gives me anxiety of what if I'm not, you know, what if I do something that ruins this day for everybody?
Yeah.
And we're all, you know, hardwired differently. Sure. And that's just how I'm hardwired. So I'm proud of myself for being able to recognize it.
Right.
And I'm glad that we are able as farmers to travel enough during our off seasons to see that day 5.
Right.
And it took me a few years to see it though.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We are fortunate to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, we're fortunate to have the kids to, you know, that get along good enough and all of us to make it go work to stay that many days together.
Yes. And switching gears, your Super Bowl is coming up.
Yep.
What number Super Bowl is it for you?
Harvest wise,
yes. What corn harvest is this? 25?
Yeah, it'll be more than that.
I thought you said last year was, what was last year?
It'd be probably more like getting close to 30.
30. Yeah. This will be your 30th corn harvest.
Yeah.
We should have a party.
Yep, and add that on to childhood, and you only get so many of those, so I'm looking forward to it. We've got a pretty good crop this time, looks like, for the amount of rain we've had, and looking forward to getting to it probably about, I'm going to say about 7 to 10 days off.
This is your favorite.
This is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's long, but it's good.
Yeah. We'll be ready. We're all rested up and know what we're looking towards. Yep.
What else you got, babe?
Oh, my gosh, my visitors that are coming.
Oh, yeah, I've got family coming. You got to get everything ready.
I'm so excited. Yep. I could spit. My sister-in-law is bringing our 4 nieces and nephews, and they match up perfectly with our 5 children. She has a little one that is Cash's age. She has a big one that is Lily's age, and then sprinkled all between. So all of our kids are around the same age, and they just want to be together all the time.
Yeah.
And living in 2 different states, 7 hours apart, it's not prove to be as easy as it was when they were littler to get them together. So she and I have brainstormed our butts off this summer trying to get them together. And we found about a 40-hour window. So we are so excited, and I think I'm even going to get to keep one or two for a little longer just by themselves. So we're about to get the house ready because we've been gone all week. So our house, you know, a house is living. Our house is dead right now. It needs to be revived and the yard be revived.
So we're looking forward to them being here and having all the kids together. We had a great time last year, and we've kept fireworks that we're going to try to pop hopefully here one night because the kids weren't all here on July 4th. So we got a big stash of that to do. So we're looking forward to it.
Yep. We're going to have 9 kids under 15.
Yeah.
And our bunk room sleeps 8. So we'll just pull a mattress in there, or the two littles will stay in Cash's bunk beds. But they take over the party barn and watch movies all night and play cards, and they get to feel like adults because we just kind of give them free run of the fridge and when they want to go to sleep. And it's a neat thing that we've tried to do each summer.
Yep.
So I'm really excited, and I got to go mow the yard.
What else you got, baby?
That's all.
Well, as the song says, the road goes on forever and the party never ends.
I love you so much.
I love you too, baby.
We sure appreciate y'all listening today. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can search for us, Moving On Podcast, that's 3 words, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We would love to hear from you. With ways you're figuring out how to drop the ropes in each of your own lives, and even ways that you're not, hell, that's just as entertaining to us. See you in a couple of weeks.